doing this whole series, as you know, on church and family. And we started looking at church as a family and how we're all children of God and therefore we've all got the same father and therefore we're all one family, and we looked into all of that. We talked a lot about what we called complementarity, male and female, and that men and women are very different and they bring different things to the table, to the party, and yet they're both made in the image of God and we need both. So we spent quite a bit of time talking about that. We had Sonia out talking about women in church. We spent a lot of time talking about the family, like family families, not just church families, and parenting and fathers, children, parents and their children. Then we spent a lot of time talking about sexuality and gender and all that stuff that's in the news all the time. Spent 3 weeks on that. And we're going to bring it back now to where we began with this notion of church as family. But before we do that, we have this. Oh, it's too heavy. The Any Questions box. A week on Tuesday, which I think is the 7th of March, is it? 5th. 5th of March. The 5th of March. We're having a question and answer evening instead of cell groups. So if there's anything in any of that stuff that we have covered over the last 3 months or so, that you've got a question, you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure about that, I don't quite understand that bit, or anything, please put your question in the box. We want the questions in advance to give us time to think about what the answers might be. So if you've got any questions, please bung them in the box today if you want, or as soon as you can, and we will endeavour to deal with those. Dave will answer them all. Must be in by this time next week. Right. Okay. So, church as family. Let's have Genesis 1. We started in Genesis 1. We've covered this verse so many times in the last few months, you probably know it off by heart. So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is where we began with the whole thing. Three times it says God created us. Forget big bangs and all that stuff. Forget evolving from monkeys. God created mankind in his own image. And that's why we're family. Male, female, different, but together as the family of God. We've got one father, one faith, one baptism, it says, doesn't it? And that's the basis of it all. So God made mankind in his own image. But what did mankind do with that image? Well, Adam and Eve blew it, basically. They decided they didn't want God. Thank you very much. Who needs him? We'll follow this serpent instead, and we'll have the apple because, you know, we don't need God to tell us what's good and evil. We can just eat the fruit of the tree and we'll know it all, and we know it all. Who needs God anyway? And so sin came in, and the authority that God had given to man was given over to the enemies of God, and they were chucked out of the Garden of Eden. We covered all this months and months ago. Just reminding you where we've come from in more ways than one. And that image got tarnished. So over time, the image of God in mankind becomes corrupted, it becomes polluted, it becomes tarnished. You look around the world, where's the image of God in all of that? What can we do about it? Well, we can't do anything. Lots of good people have tried their hardest to sort it out, and they can't because we haven't got what it takes. But God had what it takes. God still has what it takes. So he sends Jesus to live the perfect life. We all sung about it, didn't we? He lived, he died, he rose again on high. So Jesus came and did on our behalf what we couldn't do. Freed us from sin, freed us from death, and he restored the image of God in us. The purpose of Jesus coming was to restore the image of God in mankind, which had been lost. And spoiled. Yeah? So now here we all are, sat standing, and we carry that image. We've got the Spirit of God within us. What does God look like? Well, look around. What sort of things does he say? Well, listen to these people here. What does prayer look like? Well, come and talk to any of these. So Jesus has restored in us the image of God. and we are God's people. It says wonderfully, one of my all-time favorite scriptures is the introduction to John's gospel, John 1, verse 1 to 18. And round about verse 12 and 13, he says, to those who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. So whoever your father was, whatever flesh you were born into, doesn't matter anymore, because now you're a child of God. And that's why we're a family. That's the basis of all of it. We're one family now. So it doesn't matter what my father was, what nationality he was, what colour he was, what size he was, how rich or poor or other. All of that is irrelevant, because now I'm born of God and I'm a child of God, and so are you, and so are you, and so are all of us, and therefore we're one family. And that's the basis of the whole thing. This is all where we began. And the head of that family is Jesus. You thought I was going to say Dave then, didn't you, for a minute? Sorry, Dave. You do a great job, mate, but the head of the family is Jesus. So let's have a listen to what Jesus says about these kinds of things in Matthew 22. If you've got your Bible, we're in Matthew, first gospel, chapter 22, verse 35. For the pagans amongst us who don't actually appear to possess Bibles, it's on the screen. Jesus is, as so often the case, he's being confronted by his opponents, the religious experts. Where it says a lawyer, it doesn't mean a solicitor, it means a teacher of the Jewish law, the Torah that Moses presented. So one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. It's not a genuine question, I'm trying to get you. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament is wrapped up in those two commands, says Jesus. And we've got a family here. We are a family here, and we are, as leaders, we are endeavouring to build family here together. Children of God, in it together. Like Alan says, whatever comes, whatever happens, whatever the world throws at us, we're a family, and we face it together. Yeah? Are we in? Are we in? Are we out? Like the kingdom of God, our church family, King's Church, is all-inclusive. Everybody is welcome, but it's not for everybody. What on earth do I mean? Well, let's have a look. Look at this first commandment. Can we just, Alison, can we just go back to 37? There we go. Look at that first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's pretty all-encompassing. I'm going to love the Lord with all I've got and all I am. That's who we are. That's what's going on in this building. That's why we're here. That's who we are. That's the kind of family we're building. Yeah? We love the Lord our God. And we want to be more like him. We carry his image, and we want to be more like that, and we want to receive more from him and give more of him out to the world. And that's our entire purpose of being. That's our whole priority. Why do I exist? I exist because God created me, and I'm here to worship and love him and represent him. That's the whole point. It's the whole focus of our entire lives. Why did we move to Selby? Because of that. Why are you sitting here? Because of that. That's the kind of people we are. And if you're that kind of person, if you love the Lord God, your God, and you want him more and more of him, then we want more and more of you. We welcome you in. We don't care if you're English or if you're Mexican or if you're from Africa or if you're from India. We don't give a monkey's where you come from, because you're a child of God and you're one of us. Yeah, we don't care if you're rich. We don't care if you're poor. I mean, if you're rich, it'd be great because we could do with some money. But, you know, it don't matter. What matters is that first great commandment. We are a family who love the Lord our God. And we put Jesus at the heart of it. And he's the center of our lives. We're not people who just turn up on a Sunday morning and go, la, 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 sing a song. Yeah, I believe in God. Very nice. Okay, see you next week. Because that's not all our heart, is it? It's not all our soul. That's just like a hobby. makes us like a social club, you know. Where's Kevin? Kevin's up there. He runs a camera club in this very building. And they meet here every, is it once a month? Every week. It's just like us. The camera club meet here every week. And they all talk about cameras and they do whatever they do. I have no idea what the camera club is. In this building, what's the difference between them and us? Are we just another club that meets in this building once a week? No, we're not, says June, and she is so right. Yeah? Because there's more to it than that. There's a whole supernatural, spiritual element. And we love the Lord our God with all we are and all we have. And we're building something. God is building a family of his people. And we want everybody to be part of that. Yeah? We want everybody to be part of that. The website says we are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, miracle-expecting church. Sonia can recite it with me. Isn't that wonderful? Let's try that. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, miracle-expecting church. That's who we are, and that's what we're building. And if you want to be part of that, you're in. Absolutely in. And that's what I mean by it's all-inclusive. We don't care who you are or where you come from. It makes no difference. You're in. If you love the Lord your God and put him first. But that's not actually for everybody, is it? Some people might be sitting, some of you might be sitting there thinking, oh, well, you know, it all sounds a bit too extreme, really. I mean, I don't mind coming to church and I'm happy to sing the songs and I believe in God, but, oh, I'm not sure about that. It just all sounds a bit over the top. And that's okay, because in his wonderful sovereign majesty, the Lord our God has given us complete freedom of will. We can choose to do what we like. We can choose to be where we like. It's fine. It's okay. But this is the kind of family that we're building here. And if you want to be part of us, we want you to be part of us. Simple. That's the basis of all of it. And the second great command in verse, where are we, 39, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. That's the family bit. He goes on from here into the parable of the Good Samaritan and who is my neighbour and all that sort of palaver, but we're not going there today. It starts with the love of God, and I love him and he loves me, and I've got that love in me and I can share it out, and so it now becomes love of each other. Yeah? So this is Jesus talking to those who are trying to get at him. Let's see what Jesus says when he's talking to his own disciples. Let's go to another gospel, this time Gospel of John, one of my faves. And we're in chapter 13. Oh, look, we're there already. Wow. So John 13, verse 34 and 35. This time, Jesus, like I said, is talking to his disciples, and he says this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Why? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. Yeah, the world is looking for a bit of sincerity, don't you think? The world's looking for a bit of genuineness. Who you know, who's out there who actually does really care? Nobody really. Like Alan was talking about the politics. It's got really nasty, hasn't it? Anybody who disagrees with me is low life scum. And you know, where's the goodness? Where's the forgiveness? Where's the love? It's here. It's in the kingdom of heaven. It's in the family of God. And how will they know? Because we love each other. Yeah? So it's not an optional extra. It's a commandment. But Jesus is Jesus. You know, he's not there with a baseball bat going, love one another. That's not the way he operates, is it? Why on earth could I love these people who are nothing like me? Well, because we are all like each other, because we've all got the Spirit of God. So you might not look like me, you might not support the same football team as me, you might not have the same background as me, it doesn't matter. You've got the same Spirit of God as me, so we're all together. And we can love each other, and it's brilliant. In fact, it's not actually that difficult most of the time, except when you get a bit annoying. But I still love you then, because you've still got the Spirit of God, even when you're a bit of a pain. Yeah? And that's the life we're built. That's what we're building here. Now, if you're in that, that is so wonderful, and we want everybody. We welcome you all in. Simple as that. We don't claim to be totally perfect. We don't claim to have got it absolutely 100% right, and all that ever happens is lovely, lovely and wonderful and perfect, and this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm not a big fan of sliced bread anyway, actually. I mean, highly processed chemical rubbish. But we're not claiming to be have it all right. But what we are claiming is that this is who we are. We put God first, and we love him first, and we love each other. And we show that love in the way we behave to each other, the way we support and encourage and welcome and share our lives with each other. Yeah? That's the family of God. And that's who we are. All right so far? You sure? Okay. Now, what is the standard biblical model for this kind of church, Alan? Do you happen to know? Where in Scripture will we find the model of this kind of church? We won't. Not anywhere. Not even in Acts. Oh, okay. I don't mean like, you know, ethics. Let's look in Acts 2. Alan's favourite chapter. Acts 2 is, at the beginning of Acts 2, this is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls in power on the church. There's 120 of them in an upper room, and boom, Spirit of God comes. I have been in meetings. I've been in meetings here where the Spirit of God has come, but this one's massive. And as a result of that, the church begins to flourish and prosper. So Acts 2, and towards the end of the chapter, verse 42 onwards, what did this church do then? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There might come a time when God adds to our number daily those who are being saved. Not just, you know, once every couple of months or so, but daily those who are being saved. Whew. Wow, wouldn't that be great? So what does this church look like? Well, number one, sorry, if we can go back to the beginning, which was whatever it was, 42. Because we're going to go through this again bit by bit. I'll listen. Bit more. Ray, thank you. What did they do? Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This does not necessarily mean Alan's teaching in this case. If you're sitting there going, what apostles? I don't know about apostles' teaching. What's that? Ta-da. This is the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They read it, they talk about it, they discuss it, they study it. They devote themselves to it because this is more than just some book, isn't it? This is the apostles' teaching. What did Jesus say? It's in here. What does Paul say? It's in here. What does my namesake Peter say? It's all in here. What did Moses say? It's all in here. So they devoted themselves to the Word of God and to fellowship. Fellowship is a sort of religious word, but all it means is spending time together, being one together, sharing their lives together. So we devote ourselves to this, and we devote ourselves to each other and time together. To the breaking of bread, which, by coincidence, we are going to be doing shortly. And the other bit, I've just lost myself, and to prayer. Dave, we've got a prayer meeting tonight. What are the chances of that happening, eh? But this is life. This is Christian family life, isn't it? What do you do? Well, we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We devote ourselves to each other. And we devote ourselves to prayer and breaking bread. Fantastic. We all like eating. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and we read about them in Acts. Amazing miracles. We've had miraculous breakthroughs in this church, and we're looking for more because we're a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, miracle-expecting church, and they're coming. And we've seen some, have we not, Phil? We've seen some, and we're going to see a lot more. Why? Because we devote ourselves to this stuff and to each other and to prayer. And out of that comes all the rest of it. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I don't think that means they all lived together in the same house. It's possible that it means that, but I doubt it, because there's several hundred of them. In fact, by the end of this chapter, there's more than 3,000. What it means is they were together as a bunch, yeah, and they shared everything together. And it does say that they sold property and possessions to give it to anyone who had need. What? Please feel free, says Dave. Now, I can't honestly say we've got to that stage. I mean, Dave hasn't sold his car to give, you know, things to people. But we do share our lives. And if you're in need, come and talk to this church, because we'll help. Nobody in this church should be struggling emotionally or financially or any other way. Because when you are struggling, we've got each other. We're here. That's the whole point. And if we can help comfort you, if we can help encourage you, if we can help pay your gas bill, then that's what family's about, isn't it? Isn't that the point? That's what it says here. But the bit I really want to focus on is 46. Day by day, attending the temple together, they went to the temple, the place where you worship God in the middle of Jerusalem. What is the modern day Christian equivalent of going to the temple? Coming to church. I didn't realize that was going to be such a difficult question. They went to the temple, which was the big building in the middle of Jerusalem where they all worshipped God. Yeah? We come to church. And we worship God. We've been doing it this morning. Yeah? So one key element of being part of this church family is you come to church and you worship God and you're here on a Sunday. But that's not the only bit, because look at the next part of the sentence. And breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So they're coming to church to worship God, and they're meeting in each other's homes. Both sides. There was a brilliant book written the year around about 2000 by a man called William Beckham. And he talked about the two wings of church. And one wing is coming to church and worshipping God and doing exactly what we're doing this morning. And the other wing is meeting together in each other's homes as small groups. And he says, you know, if you've only got one wing, you're never going to fly. Whichever side it is. If you only go to church, you're not going to get off the ground. And if you only meet in each other's homes, you're not going to get off the ground. But if we've got both together, we can fly, was the image. So we need both. We can't build family here in King's Church if we only ever see each other on a Sunday morning for a couple of hours. It's brilliant coming. It's brilliant worshipping God and singing and listening to amazing preachers and not so amazing preachers. And it's great coming, but, you know, in terms of building relationships, it's like, hiya, Paul, you all right? Yeah, okay, brilliant. See you next Sunday. That's about the extent of most of the conversations I have on a Sunday. Don't know about you. But that's pretty much all there's time for, isn't there? Mary, how's it going? Assembly's brilliant. Well done, Mary. Fantastic. See you next week. Now, that's lovely, but it ain't family. And you're not going to build a family that love each other and care for each other and nurture each other and support each other and help each other just by popping in here for a couple of hours on a Sunday. We need more than that. And the more that we need, in a very simplistic way, is to meet in people's homes in the middle of the week. And what do we call that? We call them cell groups. Yeah? And that's why we've got them. That's why we have cell groups in this church led by wonderful and amazing cell group leaders who give up their time and give up their effort and give up their homes so that we can meet together in the week and share life and support and encourage each other. So I want to get those people out now. Let's have our cell group leaders, please. Will you all come out? Whoops, while I chuck my Bible on the floor. Come on, don't be shy. I know, I've seen it. I'm going to drink it. Thank you, Russell. Where are we? Mary, Brian, Paul, Sonia? And Sue and Anne. Come and stand up here with me. I know. Now, obviously, if we'd have done this last Sunday, I'd have had Jez and Julie out here because they've been leading a cell group for ages as well. And in fact, I thought I was going to have Jez and Julie out until. So, If you're in their cell, what I want to say to you is, please don't be getting anxious and thinking, oh, what about us? Is it all over now? No, it's not. No, because you're still part of our family, and we still love you, and we still care for you, and we will ensure, don't know exactly how we're going to organise this yet, but we will ensure that Jez and Julie's cell continues to exist and is cared for and loved, because you're part of us. Yeah? But I want to say this about this lot. Oh, there's another one, actually. Angie leads a cell for the youth. What do you call, is it youth? Is that the right word? It'll do. So Ange, who is out with the kids' work at the minute, she's leading a group for not the church of the future, but the church of now. You are not the church of tomorrow. You're the church. Right. And these people here are the heroes of this church, because it's all very well for me to stand up here, and it's all very well to Dave to stand up here and say, oh, well, it should be like this, and blah, 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 give it all the stuff. But where it actually happens in the church is in these people's meetings and in these people's houses. Cell group leaders are the key to the way this family functions and the way it functions well. So, on my left, we have Paul and Sonia. The wonderful Paul and Sonia. They lead a group that meets in their house on a Tuesday night. They live sort of that side of Selby. How do I describe where you live? Sort of near the job centre. If you're looking for a job, their cell group. Near the job centre. Every Tuesday night, everybody welcomes. So if you're in that side of town, get to their house. Here on my right, we have the equally fabulous Brian and Mary, who I'm particularly fond of because they're my cell group leaders and we love them dearly. But they don't meet in their house because, you know, our house isn't good enough. We meet in Kevin's house in Balby. So if you're on a Tuesday night and you don't live here, if you're north of the river, Balby's probably a lot easier. Come to Brian and Mary's cell group on a Tuesday night in Barbie. Now, Jez and Julie's group meet in have been meeting and will continue to meet in Carlton, Campbellsforth, that sort of area. So if you're in that part of the world, there's a group for you, also on a Tuesday night. Tuesday night's no good for me. I can't get anywhere on a Tuesday night. I'm working. Don't get home from work till 8:30. I'm not going to get to a group at 7:30 on a Tuesday. It's just impossible. Well, thank goodness that we've got Anne and Sue. And their group meets on a Thursday morning. Right, Grace. Their group meets on a Thursday morning at 10:30? At 10 on a Thursday morning. So if you're around during the day, this is the perfect one for you. Meets in Sue's house. It's just off Doncaster Road on that side of Leeds. So we've got Carlton, Campbellsforth sort of area. We've got the Doncaster Road area. We've got Balby. And thank you, Grace. We've got my gorgeous assistant, Grace. And we've got the job centre. And
the job centre.
I just want to honour these people because it's their work that makes this church possible as a family. We can't do it just meeting here on a Sunday. The elders can't do it on their own. We need these people. So Anne, that's a little something for you. And Sue, that's a little something for you. This is a very, very tiny symbol, a gesture from us to say thank you for all the amazing work that you do and for the love and the commitment that you show to the church and to your people. How many people are in one of these groups? Hands up. Yeah, loads. Including Jez and Julie's group as well, obviously. See, that's most of us. Now, if you count yourself as part of us, if you're part of this church and you're not in a group, please be in one, because this is where the support and the love comes from. This is where, you know, the questions from a Sunday morning sermon and I wasn't sure what Dave was saying there. Well, let's talk about it together and open it up and find out. Yeah, what was that Pete talking about? Well, let's open it up. We pray for each other. A lot of prayer goes on in these groups, and a lot of answered prayer comes out of these groups. True? Yeah. Yes, true. So please, can I encourage you, if you're not in a group, join one. And because God knows all things, we are having teas and coffees after the service this morning. So you've got time to come and talk to them and find out a little bit more about where they meet and who they are and how you can become part of it. And maybe, if you're very lucky, they'll give you a chocolate. But the chocolates are for you, not for giving away. Thank you, everybody. You can go not the nutty ones. Thank you. So, church is a family. We're all in it together. We want everybody to be actively and closely involved in it. We want you to be part of a cell group, not because there's a law that says you must be, but because that's who we are. And that's how we care for each other. We want to see more cell groups starting up with more people, more leaders, more of it all. Because God is building his church. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that church is a family who love God first of all and love each other. And that's who we are. That's who we're working towards being together. And let me encourage you to be in it. And as part of that, we're going to break bread together now, led by the amazing Dave Ward.